Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.
Is over. Now we're breaking down the game. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Well, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders wrap up 2022 on home turf with their sixth straight loss, falling on home turf to the Calgary Stampeders 32-21. They're 6-11. They haven't won here since they knocked Jeremiah Masoli out of the football game. Garrett Marino with the flexing and the four-game suspension. And ever since that play, Luke Mulliner, this team's gone down. Like, something's been off of this team since that game.
In a game where the Saskatchewan Rough Riders got physically dominated in that second half, in a must-win game, the last play is a kneel down.
Yeah.
There couldn't have been a better descriptor of this season than that play, where you're kneeling the ball down.
We're just changing your headset out for your epic rant. Go ahead.
Is that better?
Yeah, way better.
So yeah, so again, last play, you got physically dominated in the second half. There couldn't have been a better descriptor than that. They literally kneeled the ball to end the year. Like, your tail's tucked. Right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Like, come on. And I get it. You're not going to win the game. Okay? I get that piece. But we're kneeling the ball in the last play of a game where we just got... That's the season. That is the season. This has been... And I've been involved in this organization from a player and on this side of the broadcast from 2004. I can't think of a bigger disappointment and year or a more disappointing year. I know we've let this team down as a team before, or this fan base down, but this was tough. I mean, this was a tough way to end the year. It was just unfortunate from the get-go. I'm having hard work. I don't want to sort of just, you know, go on this long rant, but
well, you can't.
I mean, we were talking about the crossover position like third week of the year. Like, that's sort of, this team has never been in it at any point. And this game was the must-win, and today they got physically dominated. That's the most disappointing part is that at that second half you essentially tucked your tail.
Well, I wanted to see the experiment in terms of, because we've debated it up in the booth off the air. We've asked other people about this. When you look at the quarterback sacks, yeah, percentage wise, okay, is it 60 on the O-line? Is it 40 on Cody or whatever? Okay, yeah. Mason Fine was in there today.
Yeah.
Mason Fine got sacked 5 times. We've given up 71 sacks, which is a team record, not one you want. So, I mean,
thought Calgary approached that game beautifully. They knew what their game plan was from the moment and that's why our Mullinder's matchup was the offensive scheme versus the defensive scheme, the coordinators, right? But I'm telling you, man, I loved the attack plan from their defense. They were aggressive from start to finish.
Luke.
They did not let up.
Luke, you said physicality.
Yeah.
Luke, we've given up 71 sacks this year. 71 sacks.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, that's why we've lost 6 games in a row at home. Two wins in our last, what is it, 12?
6 games in a row at home.
Yeah.
And we were talking a bit at the beginning of the year, right? When this stadium was getting built, right? We were, one of the criticisms, they're not putting enough seats in it.
Yeah.
It's 33. Nobody could have imagined this point right here where you're on the verge of hosting the Grey Cup and your team not just isn't in it, your team never pissed a drop all year.
Yeah.
That's probably the biggest. And now, of course, so I said this probably four games ago in this room, that the front office deserves everything that they're about to hear. And it's the same thing. Like, now that the conversation about who is here in football ops and who is here as well on the playing side of this organization, that is going to be at an all-time high. That noise, it's going to start next week as soon as the media gets the opportunity to interview a guy, right? We're going to be talking about job security and things like that. It's going to be really tough to go to Calgary, right, with nothing to play for. It's going to seem like an exhibition game a little bit, right? But again, it's just, man, this season is just, it's disappointing, man. It's because the other part of that is that there wasn't this big push to get free agents. We were on record, our executive is on record as saying we liked our team, we made an effort to bring this team back in the offseason, right? You looked at all the re-signings, that's one of the things we said. Well, no, the Saskatchewan Roughriders weren't that active in free agency because they really liked the team they brought in.
We'll take a break. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio.
From locker room interviews to the coaches' comments, this is your all-access postgame pass. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to Harvard Studio. 620 Riders lose to Calgary 32-21. Still lots to come here on the postgame show. Going to get some coaches' comments from Craig Dickinson. We're also going to hear from our game stars. Make sure you write those stars down, and you can get a prize pack when Daniela Ponticelli announces it on the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Luke is the bell of the ball here. Everybody's talking to him.
Hold on, sorry.
Go ahead. You can talk to him. I'll deal with it.
No. What we're saying is that, you know, hey, I shouldn't be having a beer during this thing, but I mean,
you're okay.
What season, if this season, are we going to be? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah.
I need a beer after that. We need a beer. Everybody needs a beer after that.
If I was one to drink, I would probably.
Yeah,
too.
You're not a big drinker, but
no.
You dress nice, though.
Thanks, yeah. Colin O'Brien's matchup.
I'm out here looking like a bum.
Hey. Come on. Listen, usually in a season you get one or two things to talk about. We had 10 or 12 or 14.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah.
So much. Hey, let's talk about some positives because there'll be a lot of things to unpack.
Well, the game's over.
Hey.
So that's positive.
For people that didn't hear during the broadcast, only the fifth time in the illustrious history of this long league has a dude returned a missed field goal for a touchdown, a kickoff for a touchdown, and a punt return for a touchdown in the same season. Mario Alford did it tonight, 104 yards with 36 seconds left to go. So listen, of all the things the administration didn't do, they traded a late-round pick to bring this guy in, and he almost single-handedly resuscitated our special teams, which, by the way, did not start the season like guns a-blazing either.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Mario Alford's return in that game, we wouldn't have had an offensive game star. So,
yeah,
thank goodness.
Well, here's something.
I think that
because we talked about this. We're making the change at quarterback because we need a spark.
Yeah.
Did you see
a spark? Was the special team.
Did you see a spark?
No. Listen, I think that Mason Fine played a good game, but I said it on the broadcast, and it's indicative of this team that there's no next man up right now, right? Like, he played well, but he didn't make anybody be like, that's the guy. That's the guy we need to move forward with in 2023, right? You weren't like, oh, man, like, look at the intangibles. Look, he played a good game, but
yeah,
that was it.
So it was
a good game.
So, and we'll ask Coach this. How do you go forward next week? Do you see Dolagala?
I want to see Dolagala next week.
Yeah.
That's the guy I want to see. If there's a guy in that quarterback room that I really would love to see a little bit more of, especially in a situation like next week, it'd be Dolagala, right? But the problem is where we are now, every single person from top to bottom is now probably thinking about themselves. What is my situation going to be looking like next year?
So how do you even approach the game next week then? Like this?
Well, you go out and you compete, right?
No, I know that, but with so much uncertainty, is there anything we can read into going on? Like, because here's what I was reading in this week, okay?
Yeah.
We need a spark. That's fine. But it's, you said the best phrase I've heard in a while. Big money plays.
Yeah.
Okay? You got a big-time quarterback who obviously was your guy coming into this season, who you had opportunities...
Who you personally backed.
Who you had opportunities to pull at various times this year and could have got away with it because he was hurt, but didn't.
Yeah.
Till the last two games of the year.
You panicked.
So, but wait. So if we're 6-10 coming into this one with a chance to keep our playoff hopes alive, because it's very likely Hamilton could have lost the last game next week because they almost lost yesterday. If you're starting Mason Fine, who wasn't otherworldly, and we knew that, does that tell you somebody has job security next year? You know what I mean? Like they know they're coming back, so we're going to start the reset and we're going to see what... What we got? Hey, we got I think we got Coach downstairs.
Yeah,
so let's do that first here while we've got him. I don't want to keep him waiting too much. The coach's comments with our friend Craig Dickinson downstairs. I just got to get to it here. I'm sorry, folks. I got a bunch of papers and I think it's my first time. It is brought to you by our friends there at KFC. You can try their famous chicken sandwich, hot or crispy, in classic or spicy KFC. It's finger-licking good. Let's go down to Craig Dickinson. Coach, thanks for joining us. Never easy to talk about, especially when you just can't seem to find a winning formula at home. Initially, your thoughts on the game.
Yeah, well, my pleasure joining you, but you're right. I think my initial thoughts is, first and foremost, super happy to hear Mike Edom is probably going to be okay. He's at the hospital right now. They took him there for precautionary reasons, but all reports I got is that he's got feeling in his body and that they think he's going to be fine. So that's really good news. That was hanging over the head of the group after the game, and to be able to tell him that was certainly a nice thing to be able to do. Makes all of us feel better. But as far as the game, you know, I'm going to give credit to Calgary. We played hard. We played as hard as we could, but we just couldn't stop the run, you know. And that's a good group over there. We still like our guys, but we just got outclassed, and that's been kind of it these last, you know, 7 or 8 games. We just aren't matching up well, and you have to give credit to the other guys for doing what they needed to do to win the game. And winning the line of scrimmage, you could tell, was something they emphasized, and they did on both sides of the ball.
Coach, that is the most important thing, Mike Edom. So I'm glad you brought that up first, and I knew you would. Coach, what was it? Was it a head? Was it a neck? What's the problem?
We don't know for sure, but it was that one of those big running backs that came through. Man, are they physical and strong. And he came up to try to tackle him, and he hit him with his head, and I think he probably had his head down or turned to the side or something. But it was a neck, and he couldn't feel his arm for a while. So it's either a really bad stinger or something in the neck. So we were super careful with him, and I think the medical people did a great job of really being cautious and making sure that he was okay. But he was scared, I'll tell you that. I was worried for him a little bit, but all indications are that he's gaining feeling, that he's going to be okay, but he's going to be really sore for a while.
Coach, you know, football's a physical sport. It's no secret. You got to win the lines of scrimmage, and you just kind of alluded to it there. That's probably it. When you write the eulogy of this season, so to speak. I don't know how other way to put it. It is. You guys just couldn't get it done on the lines this year, especially the offensive line. But now the last handful of games, when Lanier the second went down and Garrett Marino was released, you just can't seem to get it done on that defensive side either.
No, as much as we love to talk about speed and athleticism and quickness and all that stuff, football in its essence, and it's something I've believed in since I started coaching, is still won in the trenches. And if you get your ass beat up front on both offense and defense, it's going to be a long night. And that's what Calgary did to us tonight. And we've got to figure out a way to get better next year on both the offensive line and the defensive line, because we're not good enough right now. And that's got to be a priority for us in the offseason.
Did you guys underestimate that? And at what point in the year did you guys guys kind of say to yourself, holy cow, what are we going to do here? Because we're in trouble.
I don't think we underestimated it. It just didn't work out this year for some reason. You know, I think that's the one thing Jeremy and I have been in agreement on. We're in agreement on a lot of things, but the one thing for sure is the importance of the O-line and the D-line. But saying that, it's one thing to believe that. It's another thing to get the right dudes. And I think we felt like we had the right dudes at the beginning of the year, but at some point it fell off the rails. We lost a few guys, and we weren't able to find replacements that could do the job the way we needed them to. And the reality is, other teams got better, and we didn't. And so we got to look at what we did.
Figure out how we can improve upon that.
I think we lost coach there.
Yeah,
I think his microphone dropped out. So we'll let him go. Coach, thanks for your time, man. Really appreciate it. We'll have Coach Dickinson on Monday to continue the talk, because he does join us each and every Monday. So we're going to have to go check out the... Oh, he's there. Coach is there. Yeah, we got him now. Yeah, it was a bad connection. Okay. No, I think you're good. We'll just hold on here for a quick second. So I did want to ask you this. No, that's worse. Nah, we'll let you go, Coach. I'll ask you on Monday.
Okay, sounds good.
We're going to take a break and be back with more of the fifth quarter postgame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider
Radio.ca.
Rider Radio lives at 620 CKRM on Facebook, on Twitter, and in the sports cage at 620CKRM.com.
From our setup here at Harvard Studio 620, our setup brought to you by McDougal Auctioneers, best in the bidding business, McDougalAuction.com. By the way, our postgame rewind, which you heard at the start of the fifth quarter postgame show, brought to you by Prairie Gun Traders in Avonlea. For all your hunting and shooting needs, visit PrairieGunTraders.ca. Michael Ball, Luke Mulliner here. Still to come tonight, we got our Sports Cage Radio Roundtable. Be sure to call in. Daniela Ponticelli, Don Hewitt, and Wes Cates will take your calls. And they'll also award our Game Star prize pack from Wisers, our offensive and defensive Game Star. Still awaiting their comments downstairs. So let's go through this a little bit here while we got a second, Luke.
Sure.
Let's start with defense. I don't know how they're going to approach the last game, but here we go. Defense first. I'll give you a name. You tell me if you'd have. You're the GM, okay?
Okay.
You bring
I'm
him
the
back.
GM.
Pete Robertson.
Absolutely.
Okay. We got Mario Alford downstairs. We'll do that in a second, Luke. We got Mario Alford, our offensive Game Star, downstairs. Mario, how you doing, buddy?
Going good. How are you?
Well, it'd be better if you guys won. But I will tell you, you are a bright spot this year. I don't know if you know this or not, but you're just the fifth guy in CFL history to return a missed field goal for a touchdown, a kickoff return for a touchdown, and a punt return for a touchdown. Take us through that play.
Oh, man, I never gave up, man. Even though we losing and, you know, we down on ourselves, I just never gave up. And I was telling the guys that I'm going to get me one, regardless, first quarter, second quarter, third, or fourth. It don't matter. I'm going to try to take me one to the house. And I never gave up, and I trusted what I saw, and I just cribbed it.
So you were added here early in the season, and it's been quite a year for you, but it's kind of probably with mixed emotions, right? You played well. You came off kind of the scrap heap because you couldn't get on the roster in Montreal because of Chandler Worthy, but you definitely showed you got a lot left in the tank and are definitely a formidable football player on the gridiron. Just to talk about kind of the mixed emotions you have right now.
Yeah, you know, it's been a tough season for us. You know, I came over and, you know, we needed a return over here, and then I brought that spark to it. But, you know, we keep fighting. You know, it sucks when you're having a season like this, and all you can do is just keep fighting. And, you know, it's tough. It's very – you have mixed emotions. Sometimes you get too high, you get too low, but just got to stay even. And I was just taught always never quit, and no matter what, so just keep fighting.
The wide receivers in the backfield getting the football in. One of the things that I was saying today is, hey, man, you know, instead of putting the wide receivers in the backfield, one of the things we should be doing is using Mario Alford out of there. Have there been any times where you've been incorporated into packages on the offense, or is it just mainly a special teams focus for you?
When I first got here, they had me in on few little bubble screens, but that's about it. Nothing else. They just always kept me at the return, man. And that's about it. Never really used them. Just told me to stay ready at some running back plays. And but you know, I don't make those decisions. I just do what I have to do on the special team side of things. Then if they want to use me, I'll be ready to go.
Talk about your mentality as a kick and a punt returner. You gotta kind of have that no fear attitude. Have you always had that? Can you develop that, or is that just something you have?
I've been like this since I was growing up, even in Pop Warner, high school. If you go back and watch my old highlights and stuff, I was just fearless back there. And I knew once I got to the edge and I'm ahead of guys, they're gonna be in trouble. So I was just always something that I just had in my tank. I'm got a great gnat at it. So yeah, just something that come natural to me, I guess.
Well, you've been so good. I started early on in the year because I heard other guys call you Mario, and then you corrected me, said it's Mario. So I've had to call you so much that I did finally get your name right. Now, I don't know, are you a free agent after this year, Mario, or do you have another year left here with
this
team?
I'm a free agent.
Okay,
yes,
so...
Whoa! You're about to get some money! Yeah, I didn't know that.
But I do want to bring this up. Is this, you know, your impressions on playing here and being in Rider Nation, even though it didn't go the way we wanted it to? You didn't get to see maybe the best of Rider Nation with all the excitement, but, you know, your thoughts on if they give you what you need coming back here?
Yeah, man, that's what I was telling you. You know, it's almost that time for we to start making talks and making decisions on my future. So I'm telling everyone I love it here. Rider Nation, I love you guys, and hopefully we can get a deal done and bring me back. I love the organization, players, the coaches, and Rider Nation itself. I love playing here. It's a great, great stadium, great atmosphere, so I would love to come back here.
Did you ever have any doubt, and you'll probably say no, dumb question, but was there ever any doubt in your mind when you couldn't get on the Montreal roster that you'd ever be in this situation where, you know, you're turning heads and scoring touchdowns and doing things like that?
Oh, no, I already knew, man. I just knew, you know, you know, I went down first game of the season, and Werther came in, did his thing, and it's just all business. It's all business. No disrespect to the guys in Montreal, and they knew what it was. They knew they were losing a great guy, great player, and, you know, it just was a business decision. I don't think it was because of my play or anything. It was just a business decision. Werther came up and did his thing, and I was hurt, so the guys, they could have cut me or... or, you know, not even trading me. So I respect them for trading me. All right, bro. I respect them for trading me and Rider Nation bringing me in. So we, you know, this is where we at now.
Hey, Mario, man, do me a favor. When you get back home tonight, Google highest paid returner in the CFL and set the bar there on your expectation, brother. Respect.
Yeah, man, I got to set it high. So I think I deserve it. You know,
yeah.
If whoever need to hear this, hopefully they come up with a deal, we come up with a deal, and if it's match what I'm looking for, I'm not going to try to break the bank. But, you know, I get what I deserve. So, and I want to be back here, so.
All right, well, you remember one thing. When you get your big money, you take your favorite radio crew out for lunch.
I got you. I can do that. I appreciate you guys.
Okay, see you, brother. Take
all right,
care.
Thank
Mario
you.
Elford, our game star, offensive game star. When we come back, we'll have our defensive game star in a moment. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Cooperators. Rough Rider Radio.
The battle is over. Now we're breaking down the game. The Fifth Quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
So here's an interesting stat. Last time the Riders missed the playoffs when they hosted the Grey Cup was 1995. That year, the Riders lost their second last game of the season on October 22nd against Calgary and fell to 6-11. So hey, you can't make that up, man.
Did they kneel on the last play of the game?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Hey, man, look, I still can't believe that happened.
Okay, so we don't have our defensive game star yet. We're waiting on that. So I was going to get you to be the GM.
All right, here we go. Couch, armchair GM. That's what everybody in Rider Nation is going to do this week.
Yeah, and they'll do it on the call-in show. Defense, yeah. Pete Robertson, in or out?
I'm re-signing him.
Miles Brown, in or out?
He's coming back.
Okay.
But I'm bringing so much competition in on that interior line that it's going to be, yeah.
Yeah. DeMarcus Christmas.
No.
Okay. AC Leonard.
No.
No. AJ Allen.
I'm taking AC Leonard's money and I'm spending it on an offensive lineman that's available.
AJ Allen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was decent. Yeah. Well, it's Weston, Kramer, too early. I'd bring him back just because.
Yeah.
Bring him back, right?
Yeah. Those guys, you can bring them back just as camp bodies, anyways, right?
How about this one, Charbel DeBeer.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Charbel's got to make the next step though next year.
Darnell Sankey had 104 tackles coming into this one. He had 11 tackles today. He's unbelievable.
I'm bringing Sankey back.
Moncrief.
Kreef is back.
What about Dean?
Dean's not back.
He's not back.
No.
Wouldn't bring him back even just to bring him to camp?
Unless it's a really contract friendly situation.
He's 34.
Yeah. He's 34, and I mean he missed a ton of tackles out there today, man. Yeah. As the older you get, I mean sustaining high performance over the entire season gets even harder.
How about Nick Marshall?
Nick Marshall, I'm bringing back.
Roland Milligan for sure.
Roland Milligan. I'm not letting him go. Actually, I might lock him in a safe during the offseason.
Now, I'm not going to talk about Mike Edom tonight just because of everything that's gone on. Yeah. Okay? Okay, so leave Mike Edom off the table. Blaze Brown. I think so.
Yeah. Camp body. Give him an opportunity.
Yeah, give him an opportunity. I mean, he's been good when he's been on the field.
The one guy out of those young guys that I'm particularly interested in making sure is back is Amari Henderson.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because I think Roland Milligan and Amari Henderson, they got a really bright future.
How about Jeremy Clark?
I think Clark played well. If I'm prioritizing guys in the secondary, I'm prioritizing Marshall, Amari Henderson, and Roland Milligan.
Did they make a mistake letting go Purifoy Ganey?
They made a mistake letting go of Garrett Marino.
I agree.
Yeah. Oh, he doesn't play in the secondary? Sorry. I thought we were just talking about mistakes.
But before the season, Luchez.
Purifoy didn't hurt him this year.
Okay.
Not having Purifoy didn't hurt him.
Okay. We're going to go to offense here now. Right. Shaq Evans.
Probably not.
Yep. I agree. Kyron Moore.
Oh. And I'm such a fan of his skill set. But I didn't see it out of Kyron. Yeah. I think Kyron regressed a little bit here. And to be fair, he battled back from injury. But if I'm prioritizing, no, not Kyron. Yeah.
Okay, Duke Williams.
He's not gone already?
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Duke Williams had his WestJet ticket 3 weeks ago, if it's up to me.
That was a big flop. Corey Vedvik.
Vedvik, the punter?
Yeah.
Does it matter?
Well, I'm just bringing it up.
Sure.
Look at my depth chart.
Come on back. It depends. Are we prioritizing global kickers still?
Brett Lawther.
If Brett Lawther's not in the NFL, I'm surprised, but I'm absolutely taking him back. I think Brett Lawther needs... If Brett Maher's out there kicking for the Dallas Cowboys, Lawther should be kicking for a team.
I think both Jamal Morrow and Frankie Hickson are back.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'm extending Morrow, and I'm probably trying to extend Hickson as well.
Yeah. Alford is back.
Alford is not back. I don't think they're going to re-sign him. I think he's going to get big money somewhere else. I really do.
Why wouldn't you give him big money here?
Because I'm giving any money that I can to an offensive lineman.
Okay.
My priority going into this offseason is offensive line and interior D-line. That's my priority.
Okay.
So if you're asking me for big money and you're not offensive line or interior D-line, I'm not giving it to you.
Okay. James Tuck, Albert Awachi, Bruno Lavelle.
Those guys are coming back at every... Those are another guys I'm not letting out of Saskatchewan in the offseason. I'm forcing them to stay here just so I know where they are.
You know what disappointed me about the mentality on offense? Was that though? And you brought this up about 5 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't we go all Montreal Alouettes from 2009, 2010, 11? Yeah. They had offensive line issues, and they kept their fullbacks in. Why not Tuck, Awachi, LaBelle, more in for blocking?
That's exactly what we should have done. 2009, 2010, Montreal Alouettes style.
Yeah.
Seven guys in pass pro.
Yeah. Lenius is already coming back because he signed the deal.
I'm bringing back, absolutely.
Kean Schaefer-Baker, here's a question. Does he get NFL looks?
I think Kean Schaefer-Baker will get an NFL look. I really do. I'm trying to bring him back here, obviously, but I think that if there's one guy that's going to stick in the NFL for at least a year, it probably, or late into training camp, KSB should get an opportunity. Not sure. I mean, he might be one of those. But the problem is KSB is a standout here because he's getting the ball. But KSB, there's like 100 KSBs coming out of NCAA football this year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. So also, Sam Amelis, Mitch Pickton, and Justin McInnis.
Oh, man. I hate this because out of the three guys you mentioned, I like Mitch Pickton the most, but I think he's the odd man out next year.
All right, so just hold on here. I got a text from downstairs.
Are we getting to the O-line, or are we just going to...
Oh, no, we're going to get to the O-line. Just hold on. I'm not done with you yet. No. Let's see here. No, we can't get Sankey because he's signed an autograph. So he's our defensive game star, Darnell
Watch
Sankey.
Out for this guy.
Well, I'll tell you what. Hey. You want to talk about a guy, and we'll get to the O-line in a second. You want to talk about a guy that was a great signing. He's got 115 tackles.
Great in the community.
Great in the community. So sign autographs, do whatever you want.
Yeah, man. I'm just glad that there's people outside wanting autographs from anybody in the Riders right now. Shoot, thank goodness there's people that still want autographs from these guys.
When we come back, we'll talk about the offensive line because there's some things to talk about there. This is the fifth quarter postgame show on the Cooperators. Rough Rider.
From locker room interviews to the coach's comments, this is your all-access postgame pass. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
So the playoffs are set. It's Toronto getting a bye, and of course, Winnipeg getting a bye. It seems like they had the bye in the first round since Labor Day. Calgary will go to BC, and Hamilton will host Montreal.
I can't wait for that game. That's going to be a great game.
You know, I'll be happy when this guy's out of the league. But Simone Lawrence is on Twitter saying, imagine hosting a Grey Cup and not making the playoffs. So, you know, whatever.
Imagine.
He's not exactly playing for the 1985 Chicago Bears.
Simone Lawrence.
Guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
Guy's an idiot. First class idiot. And if we're kicking Garrett Marino out of the league, how's this guy still hanging around?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you. Let me tell you. Let me tell you.
When the Riders released Garrett Marino.
Yeah.
It went downhill pretty quickly.
Yeah, let me tell you a little story about Simone Lawrence. So my son plays at UND, and Mason Bennett is a teammate of Simone Lawrence.
Yeah, yeah.
And I went on Hamilton Audio Network, and I ripped Simone Lawrence after Garrett Marino got cut. Mm-hmm. Simone Lawrence obviously saw it. He got Mason Bennett to call my son and ask my son to voice a video saying that Simone Lawrence was his favorite player. And my son told Mason Bennett to tell Simone Lawrence that he's an idiot and I'll never voice a video saying anything positive about you. So that's the Simone Lawrence we deal with. And that's a true story. So the guy's a clown. He's a good football player, but he's a clown. He's a clown.
To be honest with you, I mean,
He was a good football player.
Yeah, he was a good football player. He hasn't done anything. I mean,
guy's a clown show. Anyway, let's get back to the O-line. Okay, because you're almost done here. Taron Vaughn did not live up to...
Taron Vaughn is not here next year.
No, he...
And that's the thing. That's why A.C. Leonard's... If I'm the GM, A.C. Leonard's not here because I need to find money right now. If I'm GM or Jeremy O'Day, my main goal is to build... Like, I got to figure out if Anthony Lanier is going to be healthy enough to go after a concussion, right? Like, this year... Like, I don't care if Anthony Lanier is ready to go next week. He's not playing.
No.
I'm trying to extend him for another couple of years, and then I'm looking for interior guys. But yeah, the majority of my money, if I can, is going to be spent in free agency on offensive linemen.
Cooper Richardson,
I'm keeping here. He's a good project. I'm giving him an opportunity to compete for the starting right tackle position.
I agree.
He's not locked in, though. None of these guys are locked in.
No.
Even your boy Ferland.
Logan Ferland?
If he's under contract already, cool. I'm not looking to extend him by any. I'm being aggressive. I'm talking. How many sacks did we have this year?
Well, 71 now.
71.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot. I'm not even good at math, and I know that that's a lot per game, right? Like, none of these guys here, right now, And I get it. Logan Ferland, I actually really like Ferland. I think he's a heck of a football player.
Good kid on and off the field.
Great kid. Great. He's a guy. He's a great person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Comes from a good family, you can tell. But there's not one guy I'm committed to for next year on this except Cooper Richardson having the opportunity. But Ferland, if he's back, absolutely I want him back. But there's no guarantee for a starting spot there.
Okay, so Evan Johnson.
Nope. I'm taking Evan Johnson's money and I'm spending it somewhere else. I'm literally, yeah.
Dan Clark.
Unfortunately, no.
No?
No, I think Dan Clark might have played his last football game here for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders as of next
just
week.
Just because body, Father Time?
Yeah, man, Father Time, dude. Dan's been such a stud. There's a few guys in this world that I respect more than Dan Clark.
Yeah.
And I say that I've been a Dan Clark fan personally since he got to the organization when I was still there. Mm-hmm. Right? But it is what it is, right? Like I think that, you know, you probably want to look for, again, an opportunity to replace anybody.
Logan Bandy.
Logan Bandy's coming back here. He's going to have an opportunity to compete for a depth position, for sure.
And it's a good learning year for him. It was a good learning year.
You know what? You got some reps. You got some film. You can study on yourself all year, all off season, right?
Yeah. Okay. And is the Josiah St. John experiment done?
No, actually. I think
you liked him?
It's not that I liked him. I think that he's useful as a cheap guy. Like, you can get him for cheap.
Yeah.
And you can play him at tight end on those short, right? Like, you can get some use out of a guy. He's not starting by any, right? Yeah. But again, if I'm J.O. or whoever is the GM, right, I am from now. Like, literally, I wouldn't have even, if I was J.O., I wouldn't have even been at this game. I would have been on the road scouting. Like, I saw an interview from Chris Jones here today, and he was asked, you know, are you going to decompress? And he said, decompressing to me is winning football games. We're going to they're literally going on the recruiting trip tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's where I'd be. I'd be on the road right now if I was J.O. and those guys. I'd be looking for offensive linemen. So, yeah, anybody who's a free agent in the Canadian Football League that plays up front, I'm looking at you. And I'm finding money on this existing roster. I'm finding money. And AC Leonard's probably where I start.
So, you're the analyst, so I'll ask you. It's like you gotta feed the Lions meat sometimes, okay?
Yep.
So, is this the last time Craig Dickinson coaches the Riders at Mosaic Stadium?
Someone's has to be accountable, unfortunately. And I think that accountability wise, it's if there's anybody who's not in the organization that's in football ops right now, it's probably going to be Coach Dickinson or Jeremy O'Day, one of the two. But again, like, I'm not saying anything groundbreaking, right? Yeah. Like, that's just this is a what have you done for me lately business. This is a production based business, and this is the team that you wanted all off season. You were on record saying that you like this team, and the team that you liked finished the year 6 and potentially 12, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is the facts. The fact is that all offseason you didn't make one big signing because you're on record as saying this is the team we want to bring back. We like our guys. And that team that you specifically singled out is potentially now 6-12. Somebody is accountable for that. So, this is not one of those businesses. And let me tell you something. If this entire football ops staff is back next year, then someone's a coward.
Okay, lastly, before I let you go, after what you have seen from the quarterback room, could be still a little bit to be determined because we have one more game. We don't know if Dola Gala gets playing time or whatever. We know Cody's gone. Cody's done.
Okay.
Cody's gone.
Okay.
Mason Fine done enough to stick around?
Mason Fine, I mean, sure. Right, Isaac Harker was the backup quarterback that everybody loved, and Mason Fine did well enough to supplant him as the number two quarterback this year. So, and today we saw Mason Fine go out there and play a good game, but I mean, nothing jumped out, right? One of the things that jumped out was his height, right? And I mean, he's hitting defensive linemen who aren't even jumping high in the hands because of his height, right? So, I mean, is he the next few future starting quarterback and face of the franchise of the Riders? No. No, I don't think so. I don't think Cody is. I don't think Mason Fine is. I want to see Dolgala whole game next year. And I'm not talking about going to Calgary and having Dolgala go in there for a half. Or if he throws a couple. I want him the whole game. I want to look at him. You just can't come back in camp next year with this same roster. You can't.
No, well,
if you do, you're just again, that's an off-air comment.
Yeah.
If this, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for your time, man. Hey, it's been fun is, here. We got one more game to go.
We got one more left, man. We got to go to Calgary.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, you're flying on your own.
I'm leaving.
I'm driving.
But it's okay. I'm going to take your sandwich. I'm hoping it's a chicken
wrap.
Sandwich.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right, brother.
It's been fun. Luke Mullender, done. We'll be back to wrap the show up here and then get to the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable in a moment here on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
From locker room interviews to the coaches' comments, this is your all-access post-game pass. The fifth quarter on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Okay, so I got this tweet at the Real Ballsy from Ian Delmage. So first year that the Real Ballsy was the play-by-play voice of the Riders, we're missing the playoffs. I blame the move, Ballsy as the play-by-play guy, for the real issues. But then he says he's just kidding, so thank God. Yeah, it was a tough first year, but hey, it's still fun, lots to talk about, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. Unfortunately, it just didn't go the way we wanted. That's going to do it for our time here. By the way, I want to say our Game Stars brought to you by Johnston's Grain for all your grain marketing and crop input needs. Visit johnstonsgrain.com. You write the Game Stars down. Be listening to the Sports Cage Radio Roundtable with Daniela Ponticelli for your chance to win a special blend by Weiser's gift pack. I want to give a shout out to one of the last guys here, my buddy Ryan Robinson, hanging in here, Rider fan. He's got so much Rough Rider memorabilia. He loves this team. He actually drove down with me to Nebraska to watch my kid on Labor Day weekend just so I could get back here and call the Labor Day game after a 15-hour drive. So I thank him big time. All right, we do want to say thank you to those that were listening across the Rough Rider Radio Network. GX94 Yorkton, 96.3 Cruise FM Saskatoon, 900 CKBI Prince Albert, 1050 CJNB North Battleford, 102.3 CJNS Meadow Lake, 750 Beaches Radio, 620 CKRM Regina. Once again, our final score, the Calgary Stampeders 32, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders 21. I did want to remind you, too, I guess I told you about the Game Stars, but I just want to reiterate, they were Mario Elford with that kickoff, our punt return for a touchdown. Just the fifth player in CFL history to do that. Punt return, kickoff return, missed field goal return for a touchdown in the same season. And our defensive game star, he didn't join us because he was signing autographs. He wasn't too tired, even though he made 11 tackles and now has 115 on the season, Darnell Sankey. Honorable mention goes to Kreef. He always covers the best receiver, whether it's Dembski, whether it's Burnham, or tonight Begelton. And he had 9 tackles in the game. He was a great signing. And he loves Regina staying here, marrying a Regina girl. For everybody here, my engineers Curtis and Ryan, and Ryan McNally upstairs, the audio tech, my producer Sean Kleisinger, my color commentator Luke Mullender, Daniela Ponticelli for her sideline work, John Hoffman for his stats. I'm Michael Ball saying so long from Mosaic Stadium.